If you're listening to this podcast, there's a really high chance that you are also interested in cookbooks. So I wanted to let you guys know that my cookbook, Elevated Everyday Paleo, is officially out wherever you get your books from. It's a collection of recipes that I believe make everyday cooking just a bit more special, and I hope it reminds you that there's art in so many little moments of life. You can grab it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookseller. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Manual Mode. I'm your host, Mariah Sautel. I hope you are all having a wonderful very beginning of our holiday season here. It's so nice to finally have the holidays back. It feels like we lost them for a year, so I know I'm loving that. Before we dive into our conversation with our guest today, I just wanted to start by reminding you that as of today, when this episode is going live, applications for my InFocus Mastermind are open. It's for advanced food photographers. It's not a beginning photography course, but if you are looking for growth and expansion in your established business, then this could be a perfect fit for you. So we'd love to have you schedule a call and talk it over. But enough about that. Today, I'm talking with Ashley Cuoco, a Roanoke, Virginia-based food photographer, stylist, recipe developer, home cook, and mom. Ashley has an impressive list of clientele over the past few years, including Aldi, Spice Islands, Sur La Table, Nature's Greens, and more. It all seems perfectly kismet given that her last name means cook. Ashley lives to love and serve through food and hospitality, and her love of food and gathering extends to nonprofit work as well. I'm excited to learn more about her career and the current ways in which she's giving back to her community, and I'm sure we'll all walk away inspired after listening to her. All right. So hello, Ashley. Welcome to the podcast. So excited to have you today. I want to talk to you a lot about your career in food photography and all of that, but I know that you did not start in food photography. So can you take me back to your previous career and tell me a little bit about what that was like and then what it was like to transition into food photography?
Yeah, sure. So it was a long a long way back. It feels long. It was 2014 that I graduated from NYIT with my design degree, interior design. So I spent 4 years there. Loved design school. It was my favorite thing. Just being, it really was a way, a good creative outlet for me. And I was interning with an architecture firm on Long Island, where I'm from, and it kind of in the middle of school, that transitioned to my full-time job when I graduated. They did hospitality design, which I loved because they did the restaurants, and I really got into food after I got married, which was also in 2014. So a lot happened that year. After graduation, got married, realized that I loved to cook. And I was working as a designer kind of at the same time that I decided to play around with photography. It was about a year later. And I was still at that design job. I was there, I think 4 or 5 years after graduation, but it was in the middle of that, maybe 2015, that I just started sharing pictures to Instagram. And that was when it was still pretty new. And it was totally for fun. I was just someone actually at my job encouraged me to start a blog. So I did. And it was, you know, a totally different ball game Instagram back then, but just to round out the design portion. Yeah. I was, back in 2015 when I was just kind of still doing my day job 9 to 6 and then photography for fun. I had, my first client reach out to me, just found me through Instagram back when that happened a lot more than it does now. And asked me to reshoot some of the photos on their website. And it was actually food.com, which I think they're still around. I think they changed their name anyway, but that was the company. And it was, you know, very low paying, but I got a ton of experience shooting. I think I was doing at one point 20 recipes a month. Wow. Just on the weekends. So I was, you know, Monday to Friday at my desk at this design job. And then Friday and Saturday doing 4 or 5 recipes in a weekend. So it was so much in such a condensed amount of time that I got a lot of good experience just shooting different kinds of food. In I think maybe a 2-year period that I did that for. So and I did both that design job and this kind of on the side for 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. So 2015 to 2018. And then it was 2018 that we moved to Virginia. So my husband has a job here in the medical field. So that brought us here. And that was when I took it full time from there. So in between 15 and 18, there were definitely so many crucial like things that mistakes made, good mistakes, but things that helped shape the fact that this was becoming my career and I didn't even intend on it or didn't even know it was a thing, kind of just fell into it. That's what I always say. So, but the design background absolutely played a part, I think, for me in like color and composition. And I do credit that a lot with helping kind of influence my work now. So that's the story.
What was the moment like when you decided to finally go full-time with food photography?
Oh, it was good. It was definitely scary. But I was in a good position where like we have a baby now, but we didn't then. So I was in a good spot where I could kind of take a risk and just see what happens. But it felt really great. I mean, I'm sure you have the similar feelings about just kind of taking that leap. And I knew I could, you know, I had to take a shot at it. So, and I think at that point, so in 2018, I was in a better position where I had some like reoccurring clients at that point where I knew, you know, there are times when you're like, I don't know what's going to happen next month, but I was in a better place where I felt like there's a good chance, you know, that client would come back to me. But I do recall, yeah, that year I sent so many pitch emails to different brands to, you know, see if we could start a partnership. And I feel fortunate that a few of those have stuck throughout time. But yeah, there was a whole lot of just putting myself out there.
Yeah, for sure. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with cooking and all of that. Did you grow up around cooking or is that something that you just stumbled into later?
No, I actually didn't grow up. I mean, my mom likes to cook, but she's not a huge, huge cook. I was living at home, you know, until 2014. So it wasn't until like, I never had to cook for myself. Didn't really want to. I wasn't interested in it at all, which is funny. So it wasn't until I had to cook for Josh, his name's Josh, my husband, so that I was like, wow, I love doing this. And I was doing it on the weekends, you know, when I was not at work, bringing stuff into the office. They were my taste testers. But yeah, I just love that kind of quiet alone time that I had in the kitchen to myself. Still do to this day.
That's great. Can you tell me a little bit about your creative process? Like, let's say you have a project where you're doing recipe development and the photography, like what is that like for you? Kind of what do you start from? And then just tell me it all.
Oh, sure. So Yeah, I do some recipe development. So usually if it's like a soup, for example, or let's go with soup, I always Google first. I like to see what other people have done and how they've approached it, just so I can see, maybe pinpoint some inspiration to say what is it about that photo that I am so drawn to, whether it's the light or the colors in it or the texture, something about it. So that's usually my starting point, at least visually. And then I do like to kind of see what twists I can make as far as like different spices or maybe modifying it for dairy-free or whatever the goal is for the recipe, to try to kind of put my own flair on it. But I do really identify with Italian cooking, so I usually try to bring that into play. But visually speaking, anyway, yeah, I do start with seeing what's been done, scouring Pinterest, seeing maybe the best way to shoot a particular thing. And then just depending on the client too, what their goal is, sometimes there'll be, a certain direction they want to take the recipe. But I like to take, their brand, of course, into account. That's so important. Their colors maybe. And a lot of times this has come up a lot, but they want it to look really effortless and like home, made at home kind of thing. A lot of times food photography looks kind of sterile, or like it's, or it's just two different genres really. There's like commercial food photography, which sometimes can be, the studio lighting. If that's what they're going for, then they go for that. But sometimes they want something that looks like it's more approachable, that it's been done by someone at home. So that's what I've kind of the guidance that I've been given a lot of times, is to like have the crumbs on the table and not let it be too perfect. So I know a lot of it seems like, at least in my circle of clients, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, more of that kind of editorial feel almost with some of
Yeah.
yeah, that's great. Tell me a little bit more about your relationship with the business side of things. Has that come kind of naturally to you, or has that been a learning process?
I think all creative people will be like, oh, I just want to do the fun part. I don't want to do the business part. Yeah, it's been such a, like, I feel like I'm learning something new every day about the business side of it. But yeah, I didn't really hone in the business aspect until moving here, so maybe a few years ago. But the best thing for me was like getting QuickBooks to organize all my, invoices and the client information. Like, gets to a point where you're like, I need some organization. So tools like that have helped a ton, where I don't have to be manually creating an invoice or something. But I do enjoy the business side of it. I think that's where a little bit like a sense of pride comes from, when like you register your LLC with the and all that. So I kind of enjoyed that process. It made me feel proud that I created my own company. So but I do, yeah, I do definitely gravitate more toward the fun stuff. But yeah, it's a balance.
I definitely understand that. Looking back, is there anything you wish you could tell your younger self business-wise that you would just be like, hey, do this, like, or don't do this?
Oh, I should have thought about this one before you asked
Sorry to
me.
put you on the
No,
spot.
you definitely did give me a warning. I think maybe just to relax, like just to be, a little bit more confident in myself. I think I had a hard time speaking to new clients in the beginning. When they'd want to have a call with me, I was like, oh, I'd get so nervous. But I think that's another way that my previous career helped, was just having to constantly be speaking to people. So just, I think, yeah, believing in what you do, because everyone needs to start somewhere. So even when you may feel like, you're at the bottom of that ladder, so to speak, like your client on the other side has their, their focus, but photography is probably not there. their fortes. So they're coming to you, you know, as the expert in that area. So even if you don't feel like you know it all, because you never will, like you're never going to arrive, it's always a journey. But just to know that, you know, you do have, or that if I'm telling myself that I do have the skills that I need to reassure this client that I can visualize what they're looking for and really serve them. One thing I'm big on too is like having everything I do come from a place of service and not to make, you know, everything about me or this is what I can do for you, but to really focus on them. I think that's so important. There's a lot of competition out there. So really making customer service top priority. That's what I would tell myself.
That's so true. And I think that takes away so much of the anxiety around it. I have like a really big shoot tomorrow and I was really stressing out earlier this week. And I was like, you know what? You're just going to serve them. They're not rooting for you to fail. Like they're hiring you because they want,
they're on my side.
They want your work or they wouldn't have signed the contract. So it really takes away kind of the anxiety of it to be like, I'm here to serve them and do what they want. And it's not about
clearly
me.
They like what I do, right? If they're coming to me.
So. Me and all my feelings need to just go somewhere else because that's not what this is about.
Me and all my feelings.
Always getting in the way. For sure.
Step aside. Feelings. Yeah,
definitely. So how do you kind of work on educating yourself and learning more about both the creative side and the business side? Like, what are some things that you do to just kind of keep up with all of that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me has been making friendships in our field. And I do have some people that I would consider like mentors that have made, like I've gone to workshops with them, or, you know, one of them I'll mention because I'm sure you love her. Her name's Bella Fulfilled. She did in-person workshops, you know, a few years back when, you know, obviously before poor COVID. So, but I did a workshop with her in 2017 that totally changed the whole thing for me. And actually, your podcast name is Manual Mode. I didn't shoot Manual Mode until her workshop. That's when I really started to take it seriously. So she's a mentor of mine, and I we're friends as well. So finding people like that who support you and can who have invested in you kindly is so important. I've also done, like, I just earlier this year signed up for a Photoshop course because I use Lightroom primarily, but like I really should learn Photoshop because it comes in so handy, and
you're
trying to do really particular things in Lightroom when you can't.
So yeah,
I only knew like the basics from design school, but like the few things I could do. But that's been amazing. I actually I signed up for Two Love Studios Photoshop, and I think it's just specifically Photoshop, her course. That's been great. She's so talented, Rachel. So those are two things. Just kind of, I guess any skill that you really want to hone in on, if you can find a workshop or a course or something that you can invest in yourself in, well worth it.
Yeah, and there's so many options, so many ways to, anything you want to learn, there's a course for it. Like, don't waste your time trying to Google and figure it out on your own. There's just so much that is right there. Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
What about what's inspiring you right now? Like when you, whether it's like the time of year, or what are just some things that are really inspiring you, whether it's like your photography or recipes or any of that?
Well, something that stuck with me from design school actually was like looking to other disciplines for inspiration, like not looking to food photography specifically for more inspiration on exactly what you're doing. But I think a lot about interior design, actually. Like I have some magazines I always flip through just to, like one of my favorite photos is a color palette that I'm like, I need to recreate this in food. It was so great to me. It was like this indigo slate blue and this deep rusty orange. I'm like, that's my favorite color combo. So things like that. Sometimes it in design or fashion even, like you'll find similar things. But I guess for me personally, I look toward home design and architecture at times. I think that's a good way to step outside, you know, really step back and not always look for inspiration too narrow in a too yes. narrow view. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else I look to. Just, I guess art and design in general, I love. I'm a big magazine person. Even, I mean, sometimes in food magazines, it might not even be food, but just like restaurant photography. Restaurant design was always my favorite. So I love looking there.
I totally have a folder on my phone. It's just like pictures of like the cushions in a restaurant that I really liked. It's like, oh, I love that blue velvet chair. I don't know why, but I'm going to need this picture for inspiration. Yes. Yeah.
It's like the textures, the light, like it all, you're like, I can see this.
Yes.
As a tablescape.
Absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about what is next for you, but I know you have a really great program that you're working on right now around Thanksgiving. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun because it's not related to my photography at all, but Thanksgiving is just my favorite holiday. It always has been, probably because of the food and the gathering. But so since moving to Roanoke, Virginia, I met a friend, it's actually my friend's husband, who we both like had the same idea or the same thought at the same time. We're like, we should, you know, do a big Thanksgiving dinner for people in the community who may not have anywhere else to go. Or, you know, we at first we're like, we wish it could just be this giant table. We could all sit at it, but it ended up turning into a grab and go style thing where we're cooking all the whole meal and packaging it up for people to take. So in 2019 was the first time we did it. Didn't do it last year, but this year is happening again. So the 24th of November is the day before Thanksgiving. And we have, it's the West End community of Roanoke is where Leap Kitchen is what they're called. They're an organization here that runs our farmers markets, and they're letting us use their space to cook. And we're fundraising now for it, but we're going to do the whole thing, turkeys and stuffing, all things, pies. yeah. And it's totally free. Anyone can take, you know, as many as they need for their family and bring it home and warm it up. So yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. I just, sharing food is my favorite thing. Like anytime, I know you probably relate to this too, and you have like leftover food from a shoot, you're like, who can I give this to? Because it's a lot of times way too much for us if you're doing a shoot at home to eat it. Or so I love sharing food. And this is kind of just another way to do that.
That's awesome. We'll make sure we link to everything about that in the show notes and everything. So people can find out about it. But yeah, that's great. And I definitely relate to like force feeding all of my neighbors for sure. And they're in for a real treat with like the holiday stuff.
Oh yeah. Every week there'll be like something newer.
Yes. Yep. Oh. Lots of stuff. So what are you kind of looking forward to working on next? Like what are maybe some of your goals for next year or some projects you have on the horizon that you can tell us about?
Yeah, I do have a Thanksgiving project that's happening this weekend probably. I've done work for Aldi in the past and this is for them. So I'm looking forward to that. It's just like a big spread, kind of showcasing their incredible value, and their whole campaign is that you can get a whole meal for a really great price to feed 10, 12 people. So I'm making a whole spread. But actually, well, you asked first about the future and next year. I'm not really about like the hustle culture, and I don't know that I have great ambition for next year, to be honest, because I am a new mom now. It's been actually a year. My son's almost a year old, but this year has been honestly a struggle for me trying to balance being a mom and working from home, essentially. So I'm not totally sure what I'm going to do next year. I'm going to definitely be a photographer in some capacity. I'm just not sure if it'll be at the scope that I'm used to, because I've had to be honest with myself. It's just maybe not the time for me to be like killing myself in terms of making all the goals happen that I maybe had. My honest answer is that I'm not sure, but I have kind of personal goals here. I'm going to pull them up because I just wrote them down, things I want to do. I'm working on my website because I know, and we all know Instagram's not reliable anymore.
Yes.
You can't really count on it even being there anymore, tomorrow. So I want to revamp my whole site as far as a portfolio goes. And I'm looking forward to shooting tethered. I've actually never done that. I use my overhead, extension on my tripod, and I've kind of had a hand, remote, but I feel like I need to up the game a little bit and kind of make it easier for myself instead of staring at this tiny screen trying to preview the photo. So those are two personal goals, but I think my goal is always just to maintain the relationships that I have with my ongoing and long-term clients who I've been with for years. So I think I feel fortunate that I haven't even needed to pitch new people in a while, new clients. I'm looking forward to just serving the clients I've had this year. And really just continuing what I've been doing, but kind of do some internal behind the scenes growth for the far future.
I think that's the really nice thing about this career is that you can hold on to it, but kind of put more in it during certain stages of life and then pull back, but it's still
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And you can be a mom, but still be a food photographer and then just be more of a food photographer later. And that's totally fine and amazing that you're still managing to do both, by the way. I have so much respect for that because I feel like my dog looks at me and I'm like, I don't have time for you.
Your dog's probably on the table while you're trying to do something. It's the same thing with my
with a baby. Yeah. I think there's a little more work.
It's actually really funny. He will not, like, I can't let him anywhere near it when I've had to fence him in because he wants the tripod so bad.
You have an assistant in the making.
Yes. One day it'll come in really handy. Just not there yet.
Yeah. Your future hand model. So,
yes, well, that's right.
Yeah. They're so hard to find sometimes. So, oh, great. So my last question for you is, what is your favorite thing to cook?
Oh, hands down pasta.
Yeah.
Ravioli, handmade ravioli. I haven't done that in a while, but other kinds of pasta I have done recently. It's just, it's so you could just zone out rolling dough and using your hands. That's my favorite. I recently did this handmade two shapes that are, you don't need any special equipment for. And I think that's really, approachable for people. You don't need any fancy rollers and things if you've never made pasta before. That was my goal, is to try to get someone who's never done it to try it, because it's so worth the effort, and it's really not that much anyway.
You have to put that on my list. I'm assuming you need like a rolling pin though, something to roll it out. Oh, you don't? Oh, perfect.
No, the one that I love the most for this reason is orecchiette. It's like the little ears. So you have the lump of dough. You knead it by hand, or you can use your KitchenAid if you have that. But you just kind of pinch a piece off and use the back of a knife or the serrated edge of a knife to you just press it towards you, and it creates a little bell shape. So don't need anything.
Oh, perfect. Other than that. So, yeah. This is my kind of project. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Ashley. I can't wait for everyone to listen to this.
Oh, thank you so much. That was so fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Manual Mode. As always, you can find links to our guest on mariahbrook.com. I'll be back same time, same place next week with a new episode. And until then, keep creating. Thank you.